and welcome to the second episode of the 2024-25 season. In this week's Max Football Podcast, Dave catches up with Union Mills manager Ryan Kelly after the Millers' opening weekend win over St Mary's. We hear from our very own Clive Myrie, Adam Morton, after the Battle of Station Fields. We also look ahead to this weekend's big games, plus there's the return of old favourites, Combi Corner, and Dave reads the weather. Right, guys, welcome. I'd say welcome. We're going to welcome everyone because we're in a slightly different podcast HQ this season, Dave. This is our third.
We've gone up in the world, I think, haven't we?
Quite literally two flights. Yeah. We've gone from the basement. We're into the top floor now. I like it.
I quite like it as well. It was a bit thrown together, the whole decor, but I like it. I think it's... I get used to this.
It's very roomy.
Yeah. It is.
Plenty of scope to put some more kits up on the wall and any club memorabilia.
So if we ever get bored of Dave Norton, we can look out the window and we can see the sea.
Oh, that's lovely.
It is.
It's very soothing. Adam, what do you think?
It's perfect. Very spacious.
Yeah, the basement I quite liked because it was a bit dark, dingy and sort of it screamed podcast.
Yeah, keeping with the quality of our podcast.
Can't be too nice.
We've invested in better technology. We've got this new room. You know, things are... Some would say on the up, but I wouldn't go that far.
No.
Right, before we look ahead to Saturday's games, Dave, you spoke to Ryan Kelly after Saturday's Union Mills win on Saturday over St Mary's.
Yeah, he was in good form. I like this team. They got off to a flyer, opened the scoring within a minute, and laid down a good marker for the season. So, as you'll hear now, he was happy with his side.
So, by the magic of iMovie, we'll play that now.
Well, Ryan, I mean, probably before the game started, you'd have told the team to go out and get into it straight away and have a fast start, but you couldn't have asked for better than that, scoring within a minute.
surpassed what I asked them to do anyway, but the boys have worked really hard over pre-season. We've got quick lads up top, and we know we can start as quick as we want to start. It depends how switched on we are at the time. It's nice to get off to a nice little start.
Well, you've got players like Luke Booth and Jack Murray, Tyler Hughes. You're always going to score goals, aren't you?
Oh, 100%. You've missed Dom out there as well.
It's Dom, of course, yeah.
Brilliant. There's goals in abundance throughout the team, to be honest. You've got Matthew Milligan, who sits in there in that little 10 role. Jordan Crawley wasn't here today. All of these boys all score a lot of goals as well throughout the season. So goals is something we've got in abundance, and I'm happy for that.
And those guys will steal the headlines, but a big shout-out to Mason Prince today. He pulled off a lot of saves, didn't he?
Yes, you did, didn't you? Just Mason has been probably one of our standout players since I've taken over. I think, if I'm right in saying, I know obviously it's last season, he's not conceded a goal in football continuously since April.
Wow, that's incredible.
Since April, he's not conceded a goal.
And that then obviously gives him confidence, but it gives the rest of the team confidence as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's something that we've worked on a lot. It's just being resilient, and I think that's shown today. A strong backbone in the team and a good, confident keeper, and it puts you in good stead for a season. So, yeah, I'm really happy with the way that the boys conducted themselves today.
How has pre-season been? Preparations have all gone well?
Pre-season, up and down, isn't it? You know what it's like. We've got a lot of lads that are 18, etc. They've just found they can go on holiday, they disappear off, they're gone for 2 weeks, then they drop back in and they're out, they're in, they're out. But overall, pre-season's been really, really good. We've scored a lot of goals throughout our games that we've played. And again, the boys, just their willingness to learn, to adapt to situations, and the work rate they put in is you just can't credit them enough for it.
So you've had a really good start to the season there now. So it lays down the marker. I mean, St Mary's are going to be a good side this season. So what are the aims? What are the targets for this campaign?
to do the best that we can. Is our aim. I've quietly got my own reservations of where I want us to be. I definitely expect us to be up around the top four, challenging for Railway Cup come Christmas time.
Yeah.
I think the competition for places we've got at the club, we're missing Joe Quayle today, who didn't play. We're missing Jordan Crawley, as I said, who didn't play. Again, probably two of our starting players in the midfield there. But abundance of quality in them too. A really good core, a lot of attacking players that we can dip in and out of. The combination team's got some really good attacking players. I think we're set up and we've got a really good structure at the minute. I think it's standing us in good stead for a good few years.
Yeah, I think, well, you've got a great setup up here, haven't you, Gary Moore? And with Union Mills have always had a good youth conveyor belt. And I think that's it, isn't it? You can always sort of dip into the youth teams and bring these the next generation of players through, can't you?
Yeah, I think maybe previously as everyone's aware, we've probably lost a lot of our youngsters throughout the years because I think there wasn't always a pathway or a willingness to go into like the first team football. Whereas the boys are getting opportunities now, and if they take the chances, their name's on the team sheet at the start of the game. Quality's got to be there, and the boys do what they're asked in training and they put the work rate in. Everyone's on an even keel now, even playing field, and it's down to the boys that are in there to keep the shirts on their back, which is really good. We have a lot of competition, as I've said, and
that can only be healthy, can't it?
100%. But it's really good competition within the group as well. It's not just like they're upset that they're not in the team or anything like that. They're pushing each other, which is the difference from years before. They're actually spurring each other on to get better and pushing each other's limits and stuff in training, which is great to see.
So we can see Miller's challenge for some silverware this season then?
Quietly hopeful.
well done today. Great result and good luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers, thank you.
It's a very interesting interview that, Dave.
It was. I mean, they've got a wealth of talent there at the Millers. I mean, they already had a good side, but with the likes of Dom McCarry, Brennan signing and people like that, they could be dark horses this season. I mean, you heard there, he's talking about potential getting into the Railway Cup again and stuff like that, so I guess we'll see, but, you know, they've certainly started well.
I think that was one of my standout results of the weekend, but we'll talk more about that in a minute. Now, one of the other big stories this week, Adam, has been the Battle of Station Field.
Yeah.
You were still traumatised.
Yep.
You were there in prime spot on the stand.
The new stand, by the way.
The new stand?
Yeah, they've moved pitch to the front. The main pitch is the front bit now because it had problems with glass when it was first laid and stuff like that. Yeah. So now it's proper, all set up.
Have they got funding for the Adam Morton stand yet?
Oh, it's in the works, Dave. It's in the works. Yeah.
Right, so talk us through what happened. You were there for a 6:15 kickoff. You were quite happy to be there because it was Castro and Colby, always a big game. Big game at the top of the Kevin and Ard Druggan Division 2.
It's not right. It doesn't roll off the tongue like JCK used to, does
it?
What is it?
It's
Ard and Kevin.
Oh, Ard and Kevin Druggan. Division 2.
He does actually listen to the podcast, by the way, so we need to get this right at some point.
Hi, Kev. You know, you ever got any extra that sponsorship swilling around in your pocket? You know where we are. You're there for that.
Yeah.
So, first of all, it didn't quite kick off on time. Why was that?
Well, I admittedly got there at a minute before kickoff.
That's fine. Still 60 seconds.
Exactly.
Probably not the most professional of moves, but we'll...
Very professional.
We'll discuss that in a one-to-one later.
And then I realised that I was turning up at the same time as the referee.
Okay.
So that was a minute before kickoff, as meant to be.
Yeah.
So I speak to the Castown coach, who was a Colby manager last year, by the way. Traitor. Yeah. And then he said that Castown were missing some key players, and I said, why is it not kicking off yet? He said, the referee's only just turned up. And I was like, oh, okay, it's fine, you kick off in about 10 minutes' time, it's not the end of the world. And then obviously it all kicks off.
Well, it didn't.
It
kicks off in another way.
Yeah.
So, reading your excellent report on Alaman yesterday, breaking news and all that jazz, you said that there was some issues with the pitch, is that correct?
Yeah, if you want to say issues.
Issues raised
with the pitch, yeah. There seemed to be the belief that there was dog poo on the pitch. It wasn't dog poo.
You think it might be a rogue owl?
Well, it could have been owl. You don't know. It could have been any
using the wonders of technology, you've got some pictures of the said feces, which we're going to put overlay now. So if you're listening to this on the many fine podcast platforms that we're hosted upon, you might want to have a little look at our Daily Motion or our YouTube pages. And we will have the actual pictures from this week.
Yes, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think it is.
Because we had a quick look in the office, and we say maybe not an owl.
Yeah.
Pellet, I think, is the correct term. Yeah. Because there wasn't enough mouse carcass in it.
It's very scientific and, you know, very exact.
Despite being experts at talking feces, we're not actually experts at it, so...
Correct, Dave.
Yeah.
That's the segue for this week's... the takeaway from this week's podcast. But one of our wildlife experts suggested it might be a cat.
Yeah, I'm thinking cat as well. I've examined the footage.
Flipping big cat.
Yeah.
We took quite a while to glaze over it in the office, didn't we? We did have a stern look, and it took quite a chunk of our day, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe not say that. We just want to get the facts right, though. Anyway, It wasn't whatever there was. It was animal feces on the pitch.
Yes.
So then it was suggested that the game be moved to one of the many other pitches they have at Station Fields.
Yes. So the pitch that Colby used as their main pitch last year is just further up the same playing field. It's literally like right next to the pitch they're using now. So the Colby players were instructed to move the goals from the pitch to the other pitch, which is fair enough because you don't want to play on a pitch with feces on it, which, you know, hold your hands up, one of those things. But then obviously it's...
So then it was a verbal altercation between two players that nearly spilled over into something.
Yeah, so Gary Sainsbury kicks off in a way, and then there's a bit...
He raised his concerns loudly about the pitch.
And then there was sort of an altercation, verbal altercation between coaching staff, and then the players got involved, and one player said something to another player, and, you know, we're not going to get into it, but...
But at that point, Castletown went back into the dressing room?
Yes, Castletown, led by one person in particular, went back into the dressing room, and then, they didn't come back out, even though the game could have been played on this other pitch, you know, further up, because the goals were moved, and then we were waiting there for 15 minutes for the players to come back out, and they didn't. So
where it is at the moment, we believe, it's sat with the FA. We asked the FA for comment straight away.
But up from what he did say that he spoke to someone at Colby who spoke to Mepi, someone at the FA, who's basically said that it's going to go to a player management.
So it's not the player, it's the league management.
I think it's important to note that Castletown did have three important players missing that day as well.
I think, Adam, you did very well there, being Clive Myrie, until the very end of that, where your impartiality slightly questionable.
It's difficult, though. You support your club, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to go watch a good game of football.
I can imagine it was all set to be a good game of football as well.
Early season, and it's all, you know, they talk about the magic lights under the lights at Anfield, but there's nothing quite like a midweek fixture at Colby.
And it's not very often at the start of the season we get these midweek games, and I kind of like it. You know, like you're finishing work, it's still summer's night, and there's not a lot else to do.
Went for a pint at the Glen before, you know, you stroll down.
Exactly. I had a problem with our midweek game. Angela Davis didn't open the Crosby till 6. At 6:15 kickoff, that pre-match pint is going to have to fly down. It did.
But you were watching, not
I was watching,
playing.
Not playing. It's not back in the olden days. You wouldn't tell otherwise, would you, if I was playing, but yeah.
So it's very much a case of wait and see what happens with that, whether the points are awarded to Colby or other games replayed.
It's likely to be replayed, I can imagine, isn't it? But who knows?
I think we're all waiting with bated breath on the referee's report from that game.
Yeah, which would be great to see, wouldn't it? Just
an explanation of it would be fantastic. Right, let's look ahead to Saturday's games then. We've got some absolute humdingers in the Canlife Premier League this weekend, Dave. Everyone has got, even if we're only on the second or third game of the season, got something on it.
Yeah, we talked about this in the office yesterday, weren't we? They were all potentially really, really close games.
It's hard to call any winners, isn't it? It's really tight.
And this is good. This is the sort of fixtures you want to throw up, doesn't it?
So I've gone for my game of the day is at Croyt Lowy. Russian versus St Mary's.
We're sending Eric Clegg down there. So.
Best man. Russian will be smarting after an opening day defeat at Foxdale. St Mary's obviously also lost on the opening day. How did they get on a midweek day?
They beat Foxdale 3-1, so they bounced back.
At home, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that's okay. Russian obviously didn't play midweek, so they're still smarting from that defeat.
So, yes. Adam, we'll sort of go back to our Southern football correspondent briefly. Russian, that will have hurt last week against Foxdale.
Absolutely, yeah. I know I spoke to Andrew Moody before the season started. He said he was very hopeful ahead of the season. He brought in Danny Lane, obviously, who scored last weekend, and I think hopes are quite high ahead of the new season, but when Jason Chalmers on it, he's on it, isn't he? So it's one of those things.
It's probably the shock of the opening day, wasn't it? Foxdale getting 3 points down there.
Shock of the opening day in the top flight, because my shock of the opening day, I think, came in Division 2. Oh, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Good game for both sides. St Mary's, Dave, you obviously saw them play last week. They seem to just not be able to get the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, basically, without being arsed, they could probably still be playing now and still wouldn't have scored. They created so many chances. They had some really nice build-up play. They just couldn't put it in the back of the net. But they were missing a couple of players as well.
And they seem to have put it right on Tuesday.
They did. They played well, by the sounds of it. So they're up and running. Good squad there. A bit like last season. I think they'll be there or thereabouts in the top four. So... This is a tough one to call.
Yeah, but I was going to say predictions. Adam, are you going to stick with the home form there, or do you think some areas will get a point on the road?
I think it's going to be tight, but I'm going to go for a draw.
Draw. Yeah. The Dave Morton Memorial Fence. Tom.
And I hope Danny Lane scores as well.
You're pondering.
I am. I think. I'm going to go St Mary's. I'm going to go St Mary's. Just. I think. Now they've got their first win under the belt on Tuesday, they'll be confident to get the ball rolling now on Saturday. And I think maybe the opening day, it sounds like they played well, just couldn't score. Maybe now they've got a few goals under their belt. And they've got good players, don't they?
Some really
strong squads. So, yeah, I'm going to just go Mary's. But rushing at home as well, that's a big advantage. I think if it was at the bowl, maybe it would be a bit different. I don't know.
If they lose their first two, it's a big blow.
Yeah.
Big blow.
I'm going with Adam. I think this could be a draw. I think rushing will be determined to get something out of this, and I think it will complete the set nicely for St Mary's. A loss, a win, and a draw in the week.
I'm with you. I'm going for a Desmond 2-2. Yeah. That's right. But let's not forget your favourite ever goalkeeper's playing in this one. Might be playing in this one. Andy Mark Blair. He's back at the first team.
I'm a big fan of Mark, but he's my favourite ever Manx football goalkeeper. There's been some absolute classics in the years. John Ward, Aaron Story. To be fair, most of them did play for Russia. I'm a big fan of Stewie Fail. A big thing he's been.
Stewie Fail, Foxdale.
Gary Burgess.
Yeah.
Good goalkeeper.
Stewie's head was.
Grant Dawson.
Was Burgess the one that was famous in TT close to the edge? Was he pictured on the side of the road?
I don't remember.
Yeah, there, something. Yeah, I think he was. So, anyway.
He played for Michael and St John's, didn't he, Gary?
Yeah.
So I'll have to have a think about
that. Yeah, that's a podcast for another day.
For another day. So I think draws all around on the Dave Norton Memorial Fence for that one. Right, next game, Peel versus Laxey, Dave. Now, Peel, having been perhaps maybe slightly under the radar pre-season, chugging along nicely now. Great result midweek, beating Ramsey.
Yeah, so it's 2-3-1 wins in a row. But that, at Ballaclone, I mean, we've talked about this in the past, but Ramsey's record at home is pretty formidable. So that's a great result. We obviously talked about Thomas Brown getting the under-21 player of the year last year. He's already started on fire. They seem to be finding the goals despite Lee Gale not being there. So, great start for them.
Peel have been excellent from what I hear from the start. And this Ben Woodbridge, I'd like to talk about. He's meant to be very good. 16 years old, coming through.
He's got a 25-year-old wonder striker.
It sounds like he could be the real deal. And Peel seem to always find these players, I feel like.
To be fair to them, they put a lot of effort into their junior sides. Yeah. And they have done for a long time now.
Yeah, since they do steal from the Western clubs as well. They've got a great junior set up at Peel. And why would you? I think Gaylor said in his interview with me that when he was growing up around Foxdale, yes, he played for Foxdale at a young age, but it was all about playing for Peel back then. And I think that's kind of maybe still the case. You know, you grow up at QE2 High School, you're in the West. Maybe the kids have the aspirations to play for Peel. I never did, but a lot of people do, don't they?
That's because you're barred from the place.
Wouldn't get in the team. Yeah, don't get my own team. But yeah, I think it's a big aspiration. And I think this Ben Woodbridge looks to be the real deal. And he's obviously got a goal on the opening day in a Western derby at St John's.
Laxey, Dave. Now it sounds like it was an interesting game for them on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, to put it mildly, they were 6-0 down after half an hour against there. I mean, that's a bad start.
I don't think any of us saw that.
No. But to be fair to them, they got it back, and I think the edge of the second half, it ended up being 7-3 overall. So they hit back well, but obviously the damage had already been done. I don't know, Tom, have you got any insights on Tom Cowan? Did he say anything to you?
No, I've not spoken to him about the start, really. I've not caught up with him about this game, which just surprised me, because I'd love to have sat down with him and talked about that.
I'm sure.
He was on among the scorers.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? It sounds like they turned it around. But maybe this result is throwing a few people off. Maybe people don't think Laxey will be up there as strong, but they've still got the thing about their team. I think they'll be like these results throughout the season for everyone. Maybe you'll pick and lose, but maybe not Ayr, actually. I think Ayr might storm ahead. But I think there'll be teams that are in and around this top six, maybe eight bracket that will lose and win to each other. So I don't think Laxey should be too worried or concerned. People, there'll be better teams than them that are going to get beat, concede more than 7 goals to Ayr. I think Ayr, on their day, Ayr can do that to anyone.
They
won 3-2 if you ignore the first half an hour.
Exactly, yeah.
So like a true Colby fan. But midweek, to be fair, they bounced back 1-0 Classico, 2-1 against Laxey. St George's. They did well to beat themselves. Yeah, St George's. So they've got some points on the board. As we've already talked about in the last week's pre-season episode, Geordies are getting back to where they were. I wouldn't say they are back as strong as they were, but they've definitely recruited well over the summer, so that's a good result. However, I still think this is a Peel win. Adam, do you think on Saturday?
Is it at Peel?
Yeah.
Back the home advantage. Expert analysis, back the home advantage.
I'll go Peel, but I think this will be tight. I could see it being a 2-1 maybe to Peel. But what a heck of a start Peel have had to the season. Do you know, like, the teams they're playing?
Yeah.
There's no, like, St John's and Western Derby. Then they had
Ramsey
and they've won. If they get a win against Laxey, we've actually got to start talking about them maybe going with air all the way again.
Yeah.
And who'd have thought that with a change in management and young players coming through as well?
Exactly.
And Gale leaving and all that.
You see Air struggling at Onken as well, so it's not exactly going to be a...
Yeah, that's a close game,
doesn't surprise me. We'll come to that, though.
We spoke about that briefly with Hurtie at the Football Writers, and he said, and actually... This is what St George's used to do when they're at the best. They could grind results out.
Find a way to win when you're not at your best. And you might have missing a few. You know, midweek you miss a few and stuff. Just finding a way to get 3 points. And I think that's vital, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you want to win anything.
So, Peel win Saturday?
Yeah, again, a bit like Tom, I think it's going to be a close game. But Peel win for me.
Corinthians take on Ramsey up at Bala Fletcher. Now, to me, Corinthians have started very well, obviously. We talk about the opening day in a second, where they absolutely shellacked Moran 6-1. And then they followed that up with a 2-1 win over St John's on Tuesday.
Late goal for Corinthians, apparently, as well.
Grand results out. So they take on Ramsey, who will be eager to sort of flex on that Ian Dowie bounce back ability after their loss against Peel, Dave. So again, this looks a close game.
Yeah, it does, and I wouldn't really like to call this. Hattie's going along to this one, so we'll get his expert coverage on this one. I saw the start of that Corinthians Moran game the other day, and it was a close start to the match. I mean, obviously, the goals started to flow after I left, but both teams were playing some good stuff early doors. Corinthians, though, they've got the firepower. They can turn it on against any team, whereas Ramsey... Obviously, they're very good at scoring goals as well, but they're a bit more solid, I would say. So, I don't know, this... Gonna have to sit on the fence. I'm going for a draw.
I'd say Corinthians did surprise me in the opening day. They were very strong. I think I put them to go down, actually, so apologies to them. But Moran did have a few missing, I must add to that as well. I know I'm defending them, but we did have, it was quite a weak first team in comparison to what we would normally have. So I think Corinthians have started really strong. They got a late winner against St John's, but I think this will be too much for them. I can only see a Ramsey comfortable win.
Adam?
Corinthians 2-2, big believer in 100% records. Gonna have to go for it.
Was it going to get a t-shirt?
Yeah.
In fact, they've had quite an easy start though, haven't they? So it's, one of those.
same reasons, but I'm going to... I think this has got Dave Norton draw all over it.
I think
Jared Marquez has scored a couple, and Joe Middleton. Ben said in his pre-season comments, they've got him till Christmas. That's a massive plus. I think in the same way Foxdale were trying to make hay while the sun shines with Galen, they'll be trying to get Joe fit, available and scoring in as many games as he can before between now and Christmas. So, but again, Ramsey, a good team. Last week they got 2-0 win away in the capital. I think they'll have to settle for a point this time around, though. Right, just up the road at Gary Moore, the... Windiest ground in Manx football. Union Mills take on St John's. Union Mills, Dave, are on it, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about, obviously, the game I covered at the weekend, but also the Moran game midweek as well. And it was 3-0. Was it pretty comprehensive, Tom?
2 3-0 wins, I've just realised, for them. That's a great start. Not conceded a goal. It wasn't easy work for Union Mills against Moran on Tuesday, because first half it was... Mills, don't get me wrong, had all the chances, and they hit the woodwork 3, maybe 4 times, so they were knocking on the door.
Yeah.
They, funnily enough, the goal was 100% offside, their first one, 100%, and they had two ref and a lino, but the lino was the other side. Nathan Cole was there, Liam Thomas in the middle. Despite my screaming, he didn't rule the goal out. It was given. And then, even to get the second, I know 3-0 sounds quite comprehensive for Mills, but it was the last 5 minutes of the game that they got the last two. Moran were pushing on towards the end and could have got an equaliser, so... I think Mills of the Don McHarry Brennan signing is one of the best this summer. I think that is, he's a level above. He looked quality on, and he got the first goal in that game.
He's trained with FCL man last season or season before.
And there's no doubt. So he looked really good. And yeah, Mills, I think, will grind their way to... I think they did that against Moran. It was horrible conditions down at the playing fields, and they found a way to win. Something Moran could do with doing. And Luke Booth as well. He's always got a bag of goals.
They looked... I think you made a very good point. The fact they've kept two clean sheets is probably the most surprising things about those results because they have an embarrassment of riches going forward.
Yeah.
You said last night you came up against Carl, you were in the combi. He was first team striker.
But then the two defenders, Nathan Yates and
Owen Quayle.
You know what? Them two, they're like... And they don't look like they're good on the ball almost. I don't know what it is, but they play nice football out from the back. They're
a compliment for you lads.
But I think they're two good, strong defenders. Seem to get their legs to everything. One of them, so.
Sort of, what's the word? Cut his teeth at Pulley, and then it's sort of kicked on again at Mills. So, yeah, I think as you say, Ryan's mentioned Railway Cup. I think I mentioned it the other week. You know, they've got definitely in that bracket now. Mm. And the way I know we're only a couple of games in, but if they keep on like this, they could even be in with a title. But...
Yeah, you can't rule them out. I think it's going to be one of those seasons you alluded to before, Tom. I think everyone's going to be able to take points off each other, which is going to make great for the neutrals, isn't it? So. Yeah.
St John's, Adam, can they find a way to derail this early season Union Mills juggernaut?
I don't think so. I remember doing my predictions and I think I overlooked Don McCarry. I remember seeing him playing against Clover last year and I think he's absolutely fantastic. So I honestly think he could be in the sharp player of the season this year. And yeah, I'd back Union Mills to carry on.
St John's had a pretty tough start as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
I know two tough games in fairness to them, Peel and Corinthians, but they've lost both and I know it's
not by much though.
Luke Murray's a scorer there as well. Yeah. He's always gonna be a help this season when he's not playing elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I think they've still got the likes of Joe Savage, they've still got a lot of the players there that are and get them out of jail, but they need to start winning at some point.
A quick question about Joey Savage. So I was watching him play Onken in pre-season the other week when I was playing football myself on the Astro. Joey Savage, what position?
Everywhere. But I like him at fullback, and I think he likes it at fullback, but then he has been put on the wing. He was part of a front three, I think I heard.
He was wearing the number 10.
Oh, see, this is
one of my pet peeves of Manx Black football, right? You play in right back, wear two.
Yeah, but do you realise in Manx football now, it's all about sizing? So I have to suppose wear a number 14 and I'm more than a number 4 because it's
actually Mario Balotelli with a 99.
The numbers aren't associated to how big the size is, nothing like that, but
how do they size it? Do they think, oh, he's a fullback, he'll be quite small?
Well, I don't know how they do it, but I can't.
I'm not saying Joey's a big lad.
No, he's not,
but do you know what I mean? But it just threw me. Why are you playing your playmaker at fullback?
Because I can imagine that maybe number 10 was a small or a medium kit and it fits under Joe nicely. This is what
game's gone.
Yeah, it has gone.
Everyone extra large. Like, we look at this fine Ironman Football Association, Julian Ringham. That's a 46 inch chest, right? And Julian Ringham was
probably about 30.
Yeah, he wore it with pride.
And was it drowning him?
Probably. Yeah. And every player had the same size kit.
So what would you rather, an oversized chair or an undersized chair?
I'm fat, so I've got to go oversized.
I've got to go oversized. But I'd rather be drowning it.
You talk about positions and numbers. That says Morton number 8. I was in box to box. I was a right back. So, yeah.
Why are you wearing 8 then?
I have no idea.
You're part of the problem.
I know. I'm disgraced myself, to be honest.
Anyway, sorry, yes. Yeah, St John's, this does look like a home win to me. St John's, though, could get something out of this with the following wind, which is always a possibility at Union Mills.
Yeah,
definitely.
Right, St George's on, can Dave. The Battle of Glen Country Road?
Yeah.
I've just made that up.
Yeah, well, may as well. This is where Dean's going. I'm pretty footy, so we'll get coverage on that as well. Yeah, difficult one to call, this one. I mean, Ogden, we mentioned it before, but they put up a really good fight against Ayr the other night. It was only 2-1. I think it was a penalty that won it in the end for Ayr. So
did they not play on the opening day, Ogden?
They
had a free week.
So, I mean, tough start to the season for a moment time, but you know, fair play to them. Again, with this one though, Geordies have had two toughish games. I mean, we're obviously talking about them a lot. We don't really know what level they're at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about them getting the band back together, and so they've obviously got a good squad there.
There's only so long that band can play,
though. Well, that's it. Yeah. So
speaking of someone in the twilight of my playing career, well, that's never happened.
You're just saying that because you've injured your shoulder again. So.
No, I haven't injured it again. It's just old. It's because it's slightly damp today. outside.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. Yeah, well, I predicted there'd be sailings disrupted today, and that was before I saw the email. but no, yeah, this will be a good marker for both teams. Onken recruited heavily in the summer, as we talked about, Tom, the half of Douglas Royals, first team squad have gone there.
Shocking.
I think this could be a draw as well. We could be on, this could be a coupon buster this week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd have to say the same. This one's going to be, I think this will be a draw, it'll be tight. As you say, we don't really know what Geordies are like so far, do we? It's going to be an interesting spot to see. And Onken, again, based on that result against Ayr, that's hard to do that. To play, and I know what teams have got to do when they're playing Ayr. It's set up in banks of four. I don't know whether Onken did that or not, but that's a cracking result, even though they lost.
Yeah, you look at what we said before. What do Ayr do to a lot of teams?
Steamroll them. Exactly. It's hard to stop that train just coming in battering you, and it can get embarrassing. You know, and it's all about not dropping your heads, I think, against Ayr. You know, when you're 2-3-0 down, you know you're not really you're unlikely to get anything from the game anymore.
Yeah.
It's about not giving up. It could all come down to goal difference, but then again, goal difference doesn't matter, does it?
We're not going there again, Tom. That was last season.
You had 20 minutes on your Tom Kerfey bingo card for the goal difference. Adam, what do you think for this game?
I think I'm going to do right this year. I mean, you sometimes worry about teams coming up, don't you? That they've just go miserably straight back down, but they've, like you say, brought on a lot of players from Royal, so I think they'll do right. And I think they'll win again.
Asprey is a good sign, isn't he?
Versatile,
yeah. He's a good Div 1 player for a team around there, I think.
Hard worker, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He'll make a difference this season.
The final game in the top flight is the big one in certain quarters. What cup? Is there a cup play for this?
No, there's not. I don't think there used to be either.
Mushrooms St John's.
Mushrooms around St John's. They play Lexi and the Mariners and they won.
Yeah, so this is Foxdale Moran up at Billy Moat Park. It has rained.
Game's off.
But we say that. And Moran's hasn't been that good. It's been so damp that you've kind of got to almost say Foxdale, if it's off, it's fair enough.
Yeah.
But because often there is times where we've gone throughout the years, bloody hell, how's that game off? Every other one is on. Yeah. But Billy Goat, I knew they'd been trying to work on it, so fingers crossed this game gets on. Tomorrow's meant to be nice. Saturday, fingers crossed, is nice as well. So,
Dave, Foxdale 1-1, lost one. Not a bad return on the returns of the top flight for a first time in nearly 30 years. And with all due respect to our man on the right, they should be targeting 3 points in this one, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I think this is the sort of game that they, at the start of the season, after the reinstatement, that they would have been looking at. I'm sure Barton Beaumont's been giving Tom a bit of stick as well over this one. But
any ridiculous bets placed on this match?
No, but we definitely should. Now I think about it, I'm ready to lose some money.
Like every weekend for you, Tom. But I mean, you talk about Foxdale before. I mean, that second half against Rushen, it sounded pretty crazy. I mean, Charmer scored. Well, they scored twice within a minute, didn't they? And that result just gave them so much confidence going forward. Bit of a setback, obviously, midweek, but St Mary's are a good side. So I'm expecting Foxdale to bounce back.
Do you think the signing of Lee Gale would bring everyone at the club to a certain standard and level?
Sometimes I think we forget we're talking about amateur football and we try and apply professional logic to it in the way that it cascades down from the media and everything.
Yeah,
but you're not wrong. Gale coming into training, we know he keeps himself in great nick. He's a brilliant cyclist. He is a player that we saw the influence had on a Peel squad, with no due respect to Foxdale at a slightly higher level.
Yeah.
He's undoubtedly going to bring it. Everyone, you can imagine yourself, if someone like that walks into training, suddenly you're like,
You almost want to impress him as well, don't you?
Yeah.
And that could give
Foxdale. Even though he's his mates, and we talked about that in the interview last week, he's played football with these lads when he was 14.
Yeah.
But it brings everyone up. Everyone's like, and the little bits that Lee, he's played for FC Alaman, he's played for, Peel for 16, 17
years. Some of them silly Matt Golds.
There will be bits he's learned from some of the best managers in the Isle of Man game.
Yeah.
Those bits he can bring to Foxdale are massive. Do you know what I mean? So,
and he started last weekend.
He did.
And how's he going to get in the team over Charmer and Sharp?
It's 3-3. Martin Beaumont is the best 3-3 in Manx football. So just make sure that gets out there.
What about Union Mills?
Yeah, he's deluded. But one thing I will say about Gaylor just quickly is that interview I did with him, he's not just come here for a little bit of a let's play with mates again. He's raring to go, and I think he doesn't do anything in halves, does he?
No.
Gale was going to come to Foxdale, that's quite ironic. He's off soon, isn't he? But no, they'll be desperate. These type of games as well, maybe in the past, Foxdale might have say if the pitch wasn't, they'll be desperate to get the pitch going so Gaelic can get as many games in as possible before, because they won't want to be playing this. Barton Boone will not want to play this game against Moran without Lee Gale, because they need him.
Just a word on Moran. Just a word on Moran, though. You said that at last on Tuesday night, it was actually quite an encouraging performance. It was much better than Saturday.
Yeah, a bit better. It's still been a tough start, and I think we all knew that from the get-go, that it's another season of trying our best to fight to stay in the league. And I think that's the fact that we've agreed to go back up and be reinstated into the Premier League, we knew it was going to be a challenge. And these type of games, Corinthians are going to be a good this season, Mills are going to be strong. I think the standard of the league is so strong this season that maybe Moran will suffer more in certain games and win certain games. And Moran don't like to win the opening few games anyway. We normally wait till last Christmas to get our first points and then give it a great escape, which we managed.
You had, you mentioned you guys were missing a few players on the opening weekend. Yeah. You had the likes of Conor Gilbert and that back.
They're huge as well. Carl playing, Carl Hart, he hit the... Funnily enough, he left footed volley, smashed the crossbar against Mills, and like that could have put us 1-0 up. And how quickly does a game change there?
Yeah, exactly.
I know that was probably one of our only shots, but the little things like that. And I think it'll come. I think it's all doom and gloom at the minute. And there's worries about whether it's going to be a tough old season, but I think we'll ride it out. And I think our first 3 points will come on Saturday against Foxdale. And I think Chalmers, the big problem you've got to stop now. Maybe people are targeting Gaylor so much, they're leaving a little Jason Chalmers who questions were asked whether he'd step up to the big league, and he has.
So you talk about not applying professional football logic to Moran's game. The strikers from Division 2 coming up to the Premier League, sometimes they struggle in League and some of that. Chalmers and Chatwood, they're not going to struggle.
Well, Chatwood has played
in the league. There's always one though, isn't it? If you think about it, if we apply professional logic, there's always one striker that comes up and still score goals. Marcus Stewart, Ipswich, and some of them David Nugent ends up getting a catch for him. I mean, he didn't come up, did he?
Think of Adam Armstrong, who's expert championship, comes to Premier League, can't do it. So I just think it's fair enough. They've got
You talk about league and everyone lift. That result against Russian last week was massive.
It would have been huge for them. I can imagine. I think they had their first social as well. So can you imagine? And Gale was right in the thick of it all because he knows all the lads as well. It's probably a really good feel good factor at Foxtel at the minute, and it's all going to come crushing down this Saturday at Billy Goat Park, and the Combi will win at the playing fields. I understand.
Adam,
you got to be realistic, Tom. I'm going to go. I'm going to sit on the fence.
The question is, would both teams take a point this early on? You don't want to.
Moran has snapped their hand off.
I don't know. He's speaking on. I don't know. I think this one's. I'm going to go with a Moran. We're really tight, but I think Moran might edge it 2-1.
Your centre back's going to have a sleepless night on Friday, aren't they?
James Eyre doesn't need to sleep. He'll be up for the game.
He's got young kids, probably doesn't. Right, now on to Europe's best division, the Arden and Kevin Drugan Division 2. Only the four games, just because of the way of Jim's and Doug Dafka's recent defection to Combi 2. Well, I say recent, Dafka were playing in Combi 2 last season as well. It's hard to pick a top game in this for me, but I'm going to go for it anyway and say cast down Youthy. Youthy, right, where do we start with Youthy? Last week, comprehensively beaten 10-1. By Braddon. By Braddon on the opening day of the season.
Yeah.
Then get a point off what we've all said, promotion chasing Michael on Tuesday.
Yeah.
When it was Tuesday, wasn't it?
It was Tuesday.
A couple of screamers in that game as well.
Yeah, Will Smith, not that one. Or not that one. Not the Braddon one. Or the one that plays various actor roles and slaps.
We've got various princes of Bel-Air over here.
He scored a belter from 25 yards, although as a goalkeeper I'm maybe questioning the man.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit harsh because it is such a good goal that maybe he could have hands higher.
We're questioning that. But if you're the manager of Youthy, are you now thinking, why the flip can we do that on the first day? Or are you thinking, brilliant, they've sort of come back from that opening day absolute shellacking and are showing what they are really about?
Yeah, probably a bit of both, but also let's not discredit Braddon because they're obviously a very good side.
They could just be well strong this year.
Yeah, they could down with the point to prove, like pre-scoring. So
Castletown, though, obviously we know they didn't play on Tuesday and they didn't play on Saturday either. So this is their first game of the season. Saturday wasn't because of our excrement.
No.
It was their 3 weeks. So they'll be just wanting to get a game in now, won't they?
Yeah, they were due to play Dafka on the opening day, but obviously that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So their Combi won 7-1. And yeah, the likes of Nathan Cardy getting a hat trick in that game. So it shows you they've got the talent in the squad. I don't know. This is going to be an interesting game to call, this one. I'm going to say a Castletown win. I know, Adam, you're going to hate that. But yeah, I'm going to go for a narrow Castletown win.
Draw. Got draw written all over it. 7-7.
I can see a youthy away win.
Oh.
Yeah, I can see. Castletown haven't played yet. We don't know what they're about. I know they've lost a few. Danny Lane. They've still got Nathan Cardy, don't they?
Yeah. They've got Nathan Cardy, yeah.
He played in the combo last week.
Yeah.
And but he wasn't available midweek, which and is does, important
to there's know. There's no Everton game, which means Adam Kinvig will probably be in goal. Adam Kinvig will probably be in goal because
he's not in the game. Yeah, I assume so. Yeah, he probably will
so
be.
So maybe that make a difference, not the Honey Monster, Adam Kinvig instead. I don't know. Like, maybe I'll go draw instead then. Not right. Sorry, Youthy. Sorry, Rory Paul.
This isn't based on bias, but I think Youthy are going to win, and it's because, like Tom says, Castletown, I think they're going to be in free fall this season.
Mm. Want to watch Ross Crawford for me in that match. Played a few games with the seven side over the summer. He is a good player.
Yeah, he's a great scorer. He got so many goals last season, didn't he?
He scored most of them in the summer against me. He's far too good for Wednesday night football.
Watch
what we've been saying about you, Andy.
Just watch out for any cats in the local area. That's what I say.
Or owls.
I feel like we might need to watch Adam on Friday night if he goes out for a few beers. He just drops in on the cat sanctuary on the bus on the way home. Well, gets a few cats and plants them on the stadium.
He's going out with James, isn't he, Friday?
On the way home.
Right, Brad versus Paul Rose, Dave. We've already talked about Paul Rose. Now, this is where I want to say, I think this was a result of the week last week.
Yeah,
10-1. I'm reliably informed that my comments about Brad maybe not being on it in last week's podcast have been put into the Brad, the Swans, WhatsApp group, and they've been using that as inspiration.
Yeah, so. Isn't the first time it's happened with this podcast.
No.
Fair play for
going through the effort of flipping it and putting it in there. That's probably why we got two listeners last week.
No, that is, I love that though. Like, do you not think that someone sat there, clipped that, put it in, and it's given them motivation?
Yeah.
Like, that's like the fact that people are listening to us and ignoring us and making us. Yeah, I just love that.
It happened with the Almond FA team, didn't it, a few years ago? Yeah, I remember because they were playing it in the changing rooms before the match at the Bowl.
Did we write them off?
Yeah, we wrote the away side of the visitors off, and they won. So they used it as motivation against the Isle of Man team.
Oh my. So basically, you guys are costing Isle of Man football teams issues.
We've historically caused them issues,
Ever since my leather jacket went missing, it's gone downhill.
Dave's a famous leather jacket, the urban myth is residing at the bottom of Douglas Marina.
I wouldn't be surprised. It could be anywhere. So
Terry Regal. Terry Regal.
Five goals.
Were these two alive when the Regal gate was a thing?
Probably not. Oh, well.
Okay. Peel were somewhat hampered with their title ambitions with a points deduction because Terry Regal, the fastest bus driver, aside from Milky Quail, signed for Peel, but having played for Burton Albion,
something like that,
in the English non-league system, but his registration hadn't come through when he played against one or two games, I can't remember now, and the points Peel were lost the points from those games, and it sort of derailed their
title challenge.
Who won it that year?
I can't remember. Probably St. George's.
I was going to say. You did well to remember the story. So.
Yeah. Back page story, Regal Gate.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
But Terry's since gone on to play for Old Boys, Douglas Royal.
Yeah, he's been to Geordies. He's done several clubs now. And
how long has he been around the block?
He was at Geordies last year, wasn't he?
15 years or something.
Yeah, maybe less than that, 10 years. But Terry scored 5 on Saturday.
Yeah, shows he's still got it.
Pace was always his game, so...
Why couldn't he get 2 hat-tricks though?
I know he played for Geordies last year, didn't he? He came on, I think, against us. You could tell he'd like lost a yard maybe or two, but clearly Div 2, he found his...
What they had to do, I was speaking to Johnny Myers about that last season, they had to use the rolling subs with him because they could only do like 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, because I remember him coming off and on, but it worked. Yeah, sometimes it was effective.
I think it was because of a knee injury or something it was. They just had to really manage his minutes. On his day, he's a great player.
I mean, 5 goals there. Braddon, who were already quite a young, strong team anyway, bringing in an experienced head like him, that is a great signing.
Well, one of the youngsters, Morgan Beckley, scored last week. And Mark O'Neill been around. Well, he's been to other clubs, but been at Bradford.
Probably a good mix they got down there then.
Joe, again, another Wednesday night footballer. scored 3-2 now, which was giving some stick to it. I asked him where he played last night, what position, because he's played defence, midfield. Apparently he's now playing behind the front two.
Bloody hell.
I'm loving the formations on show, man. Everyone's going for like front fives, front threes.
Yeah.
Is he now laying the claim to be the best Boroughs?
I don't know. George might have something to say about that.
Mills had like, now I think about it, Mills had like four strikers at one point against Miranda. They just bonked. It's like it was a change in tactics or something, and all of a sudden you see four, like, 4-4. Miranda defenders with Mark and four, like, what? What is happening? We used to just be, back in your day, 4-4-2.
4-5-1.
4-5-1.
Like it.
But yes, they've started well. Polly, though, have also started well. Their summer signing, James McGinn, doing the stuff last week.
I need to catch up with him on that.
Winning 3-2 against Malou. Kieran Krotner got both goals for Malou in that game. That's a great result. After a season of, some might say, toil last year, they've started well. What did they get on the midweek? No game midweek.
For no them. Game.
So they'll be interested, trying to prove a point against Braddon this week, but I think Braddon, they've started so well. They were 6-1 win on Tuesday as well. So that's 16 goals in two games.
Mm.
They've got to be favourites for this one.
Yeah, I think so. Fair play to Bully. Just getting that team out and the signings that they've made, I think that's already a positive start to the season. So, I don't think they'll be in any trouble. I think Pulley will be sort of mid-table, maybe sort of challenging, maybe for a top six, I don't know. But yeah, I think this has got Braddon win on it.
I'll go Braddon, but quite comfortable. But can I just say, that Malou Pulley game, that's a meaty fixture. That,
it's
there?
A shock.
It comes around. I bet that was a thrilling game.
Pulley have recruited well in the summer.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, it's not the Pulley of old.
I saw Malou post at half-time. I didn't realise what the full-time score was until right now, but I saw Malou post that they were 2-1 up at half-time and they were like dead confident. They were like, oh, good first half and all that.
Malou love a bit of the Twitter post, don't they? They do love a little bit of winding up and replying to comments and all that. Yeah, you can get at Malou.
You can. You certainly can. I've got experience. Yeah.
So, who calling in that one? Winning that one? Braddon or Pulley?
I'm going to go Braddon quite comfortably.
Malou, talking Malou, they're taking on Governors Athletic in a game that, bizarrely, quite a few players have moved between the two clubs historically. I don't know if it's much.
It's a Tony Shield derby, that's why.
So, Tony Shield derby. Govs, they had a great result midweek, narrowly losing 3-2 to Old Boys. Well, as much as a loss is a great result.
Yeah, we have to say, so obviously 5 goals, 4 red cards in that match.
This is the
one that Dean Turt was at the other day, and it just sounded mental.
I've seen Dean got a bit of flack for his rating ref of the ref. Yeah. You think you're 55 out of 100. And I think the 50 for turning up is generous, by the way. Can I just say? I think 50 for turning up is like, what? I guess some refs don't do
it. Well, they didn't.
Is it true that Old Boys have more red cards in that game? Is that right?
Old Boys had 3, I think, and Governors got 1. Yeah, I think so.
Was some of them a couple of cautions?
But one of them was a manager. One of them was the Old Boys manager, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was. They were managers.
They always seem to have a Gartland in their managing coaching staff, don't they?
Even if your name's not Gartland, you have to change your name by default when you take on the role. It's part of the. You get a hot dog from Paul Turner at half time, and you have to change your name to Gartland.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so
Govs were leading that game at half time. Now I think, as I say, Old Boys were down to 9 men for at least 50 minutes in that game, so that obviously played a part. But yeah, so Govs were winning, so they were competitive, which is good.
So I think Govs are going to win on Saturday. They're going to beat Malou.
Although
Kieran Krotner is a good player,
I think this will be tight. And as you say, Kieran Krotner is a very good player. I'll go with a draw here. I think it'll be tight, and I think because Malou aren't pushovers either. They'll fight for everything, and they've been
struggling to fill the team recently.
Malou have they? Yeah. They asked to.
Great, we can. They won 7-2 in the midweek. We should just Royals.
So yeah, that's as well. Royals are on free fall, aren't they? And no wonder if all your players get up and go. So
out of pure hatred, I'm going to go for Govs.
Of course.
I'll go for Dwyer.
Yeah, I'll go for a Desmond Tutu again.
Michael United versus Douglas and District. Now, Michael started off with a narrow loss to Colby, and then they've drawn with Youthy. Have we hexed them, saying they were... I think... Did everyone go for them? You've got a 4-5-1 in front of you, Dave.
You, Andy.
I've got the back of the
Right, so...
Did most people go for...
Tom didn't. Tom went for Old Boys. Yeah. Andy, you went for Michael. I went for Michael. Adam, I don't know yours, because yours... What happened to yours?
I have no idea. I went for Michael. Too.
Did you?
Right.
So a lot of people have gone for Michael.
Yeah.
Have we hexed them?
I I think we might have done, you know. Turton went for Braddon. Eric did as well, so interesting.
But with the striker Liam Kane and with the firepower they have, it must just be the defence. Like, I knew they were looking for a goalkeeper, weren't they? First team keeper was their big problem. So maybe they'll still score a load of goals, it just depends on how many they concede. Because Liam Kane's going to bag. We kind of know what he's going to do. He's talking of him already confirming a deal to go to Laxey next season.
Well, you started at Laxey, didn't you?
Yeah, he did. And I'm led to believe that he's going to have one more year at Michael's. So he'll want this year to be a big one. And they've not started the best, but...
I've heard that Liam Kane on that subject was pocketed last weekend by the new centre-back partnership at Colby of Jordan Edge and Nick Clegg, who's moved from Jim's.
Oh, right,
okay. So yeah, he was striker last year, gone back to centre-back, and apparently they pocketed him, so...
Bold claim from Adam.
Yeah, so...
He hasn't scored yet, to be fair, I don't think.
No, he hasn't.
Nope.
Owen Hurt, nice to see scoring again. He was at Ayr last year, but always had a lot of injuries. He used to be at Moran. He's a good sign to have back in as well in case he's...
Was it Michael last year as well, wasn't he?
I think it was last year.
Have a spell at
He did go to Ayr at one point. Yeah. I know he didn't play much.
You, Nathan and Owen both...
They both went to Ayr, didn't they? Yeah, traitors.
Yeah. Word for the opponents, D&D, Dave. Now, obviously, they started off... Did they play on Saturday?
No, they didn't play last weekend. No, but they did. It's a tough game in midweek. They lost 6-1 to Braddon. So... Again, little is kind of known about D&D's form with that, I think. You obviously spoke to them, didn't you, for 4-5-1.
Yeah.
They brought
host of new players in, a couple of returning players, new manager.
So it takes a bit of time to settle down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So
I think home win for the Aces for me.
Yeah, I think Michael. But it won't be as comfortable as they think. I think D&D make it hard, don't they, for teams?
Yeah.
I think it'd be... Maybe a 3-2 or 3-1.
They'll probably go into this confident, having looked at those two previous results of Michael. So you never know with D&D.
Yeah, they can always pull out a shot. And we don't know who's playing for them because they will have signed 50 players. and we don't know
Is it too early to say it's a must-win game for Michael?
I was just thinking that in my head, but then I thought, I'm not going to say it. because we're only in the second week of the season.
but Adam,
I love your bold punditry.
Yes.
You're like, you're what Chris Sutton wants to be. but it's this... Didn't you make a very bold claim about the division title last year?
In about
October.
I said that Ayr had already run it.
And they were there. He did say it. We were like,
I thought you did Laxey, didn't we?
No, it was
Laxey only won their first game and fell to pieces, didn't they?
They came into the podcast and then that was it.
The podcast curse. I wonder what it'll be like this year.
We'll see. Guests will be back. We're just playing with the format. Let it settle.
Is that easing it back in?
Workshopping.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, also on Saturday, Dave, FC Alaman versus Bury. The Ravens are back at home.
Big game. Obviously, Bury...
6 away games in a row. That's some road trip, isn't it?
It's
like an American sport, they do that. And then they go on tour for like 3 months.
And Sam Turton was the groupie. But big game. Obviously, Bury brought over a load of fans last year. And I believe that the tickets had already been selling well up to a couple of weeks ago. So, should be a good crowd down at the ball.
6 o'clock kickoff?
It is.
FC Alaman currently 12th, if my memory serves me. A mixed bag so far this season.
Yeah, they had two narrow 2-1 defeats, but then they got back to winning ways in midweek 3-1.
Prestwick Hayes,
yeah. So, bit of confidence. It sounds like the likes of Sam Baines and people like that played really well. So, be interesting to see what the lineup's like.
Big Bury contingent coming. I know they're bringing some of their junior sides as well. I think their under 10s are playing games on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
One's at the strange, I've never seen this as a venue. Henry Bloom Noble is hosting a match.
Wow.
Henry Bloom Noble?
The Astro.
Yeah.
Is that full size?
I'm not sure.
My
son goes there, so I should really know. But I haven't scoped out this football prospect.
I don't think it is full size, but if they can get games on there, you'd think like a team would even be playing there if it was full size.
It's under 10s.
Oh, it makes sense then.
Yeah. And I think they may be at the bowl on Sunday.
Are Bury bringing, how many, do we know how many Bury are bringing? Sorry,
fans, I don't know. They usually bring a big contingent.
They Jager bombs at McDonald's again.
Do you remember they did at McDonald's?
Was that Bury or was that West Didge?
I thought it was
Bury.
We've
not heard any murmurings about that yet.
No, but then...
Might be worth going down.
Bury always bring a lot of it, but it was nice to see that, in fairness, you know, the... summer tournament they did this summer. Yeah. Chester were over and they brought loads. I remember seeing them all at Nag's Head at 9:30 and I must say I knew
I think Radcliffe brought a few as well. Yeah. The old teams involved. Who were the Lancaster City? I didn't see many Lancaster City fans, but we obviously knew a few of the
Chester lads. To see them at 9:30 Nag's Head and heading into work is not nice because all you want to do is join them. Especially playing FC Man.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, next thing we should touch on this week before we wrap it up is Freddie O'Donoghue. Have I said that right?
Yeah, Freddie O'Donoghue, I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah, Freddie O'Donoghue.
You only interviewed him this week.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, you've
got to. Yeah, yeah. So former Peel midfielder, played 5 games?
Played 5 games last year, I think maybe one season before, something like that.
Signed for Carlisle United versus Dundee.
Yeah, he's doing well, 17 years of age.
Made his first team debut in the EFL Trophy this week in a 2-1 defeat by Nottingham Forest under 21s.
Yeah.
You spoke to him. There's a great piece on the back of the Courier this week and online now. Now, fingers crossed, following wind, all that, we're going to have a Zoom conversation with him next week. So if you've got any questions for Freddie, who's a 17-year-old lad making his way in the professional game, do get him through to us on the usual channels.
He might say no if you're a Moran boy, mightn't he? He did originally say that when I asked him for a few questions and to speak to him, he said, no Moran scum, he called it. So
he sounds like he knows you well.
He sounds like he's a Peel man, yeah, I don't mind that.
So he, so we'll hopefully have speaking to him next Tuesday. So please, if you've got any questions, do that by close of business on Monday.
Yep, that's good.
And games, Dave. Now, there was a draw in Orkney last night that hasn't gone the way we wanted.
Yeah, Hattie hasn't resurfaced yet, the scoreline, so it's not all good news.
It's in the Nag's Head with the Chester fans.
So, good news for the Alamann men's team. They are safely in the draw. So, because it's in Orkney, the competition...
Next summer,
it was oversubscribed, so they had to obviously cap it at 12 teams for the groups. Now, the previous winners, the hosts, they were automatically in. So basically, there were a very limited number of places. They held the draw yesterday. The Alamann, I think, were 8th or 9th team out. So they were okay. They were safely in there. But unfortunately for the women, they were the very last ball out.
Ooh.
Which means they are the third reserve. So they, in all likelihood, they're not going to be in the Island Games next year.
Which is a real shame.
Yeah. Especially after the success in the Cherry Godfrey Cup only last month.
And they got a medal
last year.
Yeah, exactly. So they basically need 3 teams to drop out for them to be in it. And it's unlikely. But you never know.
Tom, you've had it. Just as we were, some breaking news, had a statement from the FA, from Lewis, on this matter.
It wasn't that groundbreaking. He just said it's disappointing that they're not in it.
And they're going to look for other avenues.
For the women. So hopefully they get some competition as well. But this Trary Godfrey looked like it was really well run. And obviously they did really well. Becky and the team doing awesome stuff as usual.
Right. I think that's... That's it for this. We've got the 2 best bits of the podcast.
Yeah, calm down. Don't go anywhere yet.
Don't be switching off. Right.
If you haven't switched off already, you will when I start talking.
Time for Combi Corner.
Right, so with it being a double game week, I've just sort of glossed over the results, done a bit of a roundup.
Okay? Love it.
Yeah. So St Mary's, Ramsey and St John's are all...
You don't need to sell it to me, Dave. We have to sell it to you every week.
Yeah, you do, because I don't like doing it. St Mary's, Ramsey and St John's all boast 100% records in Canada Life Combination 1 after winning both of their first games this week. St Mary's lead the way after recording 3-1 and 9-0 wins, with Ramsey second after 6-0 and 4-2 successes, while the John has won both of their games 4-0. Oh, easy for me to say. Onken and Rush have both won their opening games, but they've sat out the midweek fixtures, so they've only played once each. Ayr and Laxey both won 1 and lost 1. Unimills and Moran sit level up on 1 point each after suffering an opening day defeat before drawing with each other on Wednesday evening, despite the best efforts at top. 3-3, so sounded like it was an entertaining game.
3-0 down.
Peel, Foxdale and St George's are all without a point so far. In the Arden and Kevin Drugan combination 2, Colby and Old Boys lead the way. Good for you, Adam.
Get in there.
You're happy over there. They've got 6 points out of 6. The Moonlighters lead the way on goal difference at the moment. Bradon and Youthy are unbeaten on 4 points after a win and a draw apiece, followed by Castletown and D&D, who've both won their opening game, but lost their second in midweek. They're joined on 3 points by Pulley, who defeated Jim's on Wednesday in their only game so far. And Dougie Royal, Governors, Jim's, Dafka and Michael are all without a point so far.
Can you feel that?
Yeah.
It's that warm feeling you get when Dave does Comedy Corner. I find it really soothing.
My monotonous voices that just send you to sleep.
Give it the full beans, Adam. Dave reads the weather.
All right, young cigarette man over there.
Third place, sorry.
He's not a winner.
Oh, God. It may have been awful on Tuesday night, but the forecast is again looking good for this weekend's games. Both Friday and Saturday will be dry with sunny spells, and the temperatures are set to rise considerably. Indeed, both days are expected to be amongst the warmest days of the year. So don't be surprised to see Tom and Adam both drinking on the sidelines.
But does this mean drinks breaks are back this weekend?
What does the mercury have to reach?
Yeah, what's the temperature? Because some refs just willy nilly, they probably.
I'm sorry, there shouldn't be drinks breaks at all in men's football.
Here we go.
Crack on.
No, if the professionals are getting them and these lads have been in the pub on a Friday night, they're a bit knackered, it's boiling hot. They deserve a.
Don't go to the pub on Friday night then.
Okay. But then you're telling me everyone in men's football is prime athlete.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Colby must have some big boys that could do the rest. Surely, every club has them, and we all need a break. Even the fittest amongst us, I can imagine Lee Gale, if he's given option, will have a drinks break, won't he? So,
yeah, I was not made it for a podcast without a drink yet.
Let's ask the public. Drinks breaks or no drinks breaks in public?
Well, it'd be Cantastella on the sidelines.
You are aware that it's like it's water.
Yeah, half time times four.
It's a little half between half time.
I say what I saw the other day. I digress. I'm sorry, listen.
We always do.
Do you remember, Dave, when we were younger, they used to have the Lucozade tablets?
Yeah.
Right. I saw some post on social media.
I saw this meme.
Yeah, the post. Someone didn't realise you meant to put them in water.
They were just
eating the
like
pure glucose. They must have been off their face.
Definitely diabetic now.
But like after the first time they did it, you'd think that they might have caught on. But they came in like packs as well.
Yeah, so they must have just been absolutely chucking them back.
Must not have slept for like 3 months. Unbelievable. Right, on that bombshell.
Ta-ta for now.